We're going to begin our day today talking about suffering, tragedy, and in particular about the life of Job. Well, first of all, how many of you counsel sort of on a regular basis, not necessarily formally, but formally included? Many of you do that. Okay, so most of you. And how many of you use the book of Job in your counseling? Good, bunches of you. So what I want to do today is talk to you a little bit from the book of Job and talk to you about what it is that we can learn as counselors, as humans, about the human condition from the book of Job. We are, all of us, meaning makers. Do you know what I mean? We look at what's going on in our lives and we try to make meaning. We put meaning into it. Well, if this happens, then this means this. Don't we? I mean, everything that we do, you know, if this happens, this means this. We are, all of us, meaning makers. We, in one of the, and because we're made in the image of God, we're meaning makers. But also because we like to be in control. So if I can look at somebody like Job and say, well, all right, you know, somebody who's really suffering, well, this is the reason this person is suffering like this, then I can try to avoid it because I don't want to end up like Job. Well, I mean, at least at the beginning of the story, right? So what I want to do is try to give you a way, a paradigm, if you will, to look at Job's life and then from that to say, what is it that we can learn about God from the book of Job? So what to say when the world caves in? True or false? No human being is righteous. You don't have to answer this. It's too early for an actual pop quiz. True or false? No human being is righteous before God. True or false, God never perverts justice. True or false, God punishes every evildoer. Now, just think for a minute about how you would answer that, those series of questions. At the end of the book of Job, God makes an assessment of Job's counselors. And he says, my anger burns against you and against your two friends, his three counselors, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Now you remember how the story goes, and I'm not going to read through it, but of course you know Job is a righteous man. He's a good man. He's one of the most righteous men on the earth. And Satan comes in to blaspheme God, basically, and says, well, the only reason you know that he's righteous at all, that he likes you at all, is because you've padded his life. His life is great. But if you take all this good stuff away, he'll curse you to your face. And then, of course, you know what happens. God allows Satan. Satan is God's junkyard dog on a leash, right? And God allows Satan to attack Job and basically strip him of everything. And then eventually even strip him of his health. So he allows him to do that. And then Job's three comforters, his counselors, come. And the best thing that they do in the entire book is sit there with their mouths shut. And they do that for a week. They come in, they sit there for a week and don't say anything. And honestly, then from then on, the minute they open their mouth, they're done. Because they had a certain way of thinking about suffering that was completely false. And they were meaning makers. And they were trying to control. And they were thinking, well, if in fact Job was a truly righteous man, like we are. If Job was a truly righteous man, then this bad would not be happening to him. And not only does Job have the hideous, unspeakable loss of everything that his life had been, he also has three accusers that just are doing nothing but accusing him, and their accusations just get worse and worse and worse as the book goes on. And what Job is trying to do the whole time is just basically say, I wish God would tell me what I did, because I don't know what it is. And in one way, Job also believes the same thing. But he's not being a miserable comforter to somebody who is so very lost in suffering. Job says, "For the despairing man, there should be kindness from his friend." So, you know, that's what the suffering person wants to say to you. For the despairing man, there should be kindness from his friend, so that he does not forsake the fear of the Almighty. See, you and I can come alongside those who are suffering and just be kind. Just be kind. You know, but what we want to do is try to make sense of it, right? We try to say, well, you know, this is happening because of this. And again, the reason that we do that is because we want to make sure, well, of course, we love the person and want to try to help them, but then also because it makes us a little more comfortable about our own lives. "Sorry comforters are you all," Job says of his three friends. So, James' perspective on Job is, "Do not complain, brethren," this is from James 5, "do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings." This is very interesting. "That the Lord is full of compassion and merciful." You look at the life of Job, and what you're supposed to say is, "The Lord is full of compassion and merciful." It's interesting, isn't it? Ezekiel's perspective is that Job is named as one of three righteous people in the Old Testament. So there are three righteous people that Ezekiel names in the Old Testament, Job being one of them. And so, you know, what are we going to learn here? We have insight that Job, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar lacked. We've been given a look behind the scenes, but even so, we may fail to learn. All of us as meaning makers want to be able to look at situations and say, this makes sense according to the way I see the world. This makes sense. But when you look at the book of Job, even though we are given a look behind the scenes, it's very hard. It's very hard to say this makes sense. I mean, it makes sense from God's perspective. He knows what he's doing, but from our perspective, it just simply doesn't make sense. Here's Job, one of the most righteous people in the land. And God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" I mean, God brings him up. What does the book of Job teach us about the mistakes we can make in counseling? First of all, we can assume that God always and in every sense responds in the expected way. That's very easy to assume, isn't it? God just, you know, here's the God formula, and here's how he will respond. But we don't know. There isn't a formula. You see, he's beyond a formula. Job teaches us that.